Tim Keown, I was watching Gonzaga, the top-seeded team in the tournament, go down 10 points at halftime to Memphis, and it felt like they were on the verge of just a giant choke job. But then a 6'10" individual with a headband and a mustache named Drew Timmy executed an honestly stunning Heimlich maneuver in the second half. What happened?
He just put on a show.
Tim Keown is a senior writer for ESPN.
I don't think he did the same move twice. Maybe his little jump hook, but he did it from different angles.
Timmy turns, faces up, ripped through, puts up the jump shot, and bounced it in! Drew Timmy has come to life!
He hit a three.
Back to Timmy, right side, 15 to shoot. He'll take the three and hit it!
He hit these probably close to 15-foot jump hooks from the baseline.
Timmy dribbling into the paint, turns baseline, puts it up with the right hand and scores. A jump hook for Timmy.
He hit a fadeaway bank shot from the right side, and you just had to laugh at it.
Timmy dribbling to the right side, turns, puts a shoulder into Durant. Fadeaway jumper is up. Oh, he banked it in! He banked it in! Drew Timmy with a prayer, and it's answered.
He does that, and you're like, okay, they are not going to lose. That was exactly what I said. Okay, they're not going to lose. He's not going to let them lose.
But that wasn't even the best part, Tim. Because after Drew Timmy scores 21 points in the second half alone, saving the whole season, he gives this post-game interview on the court, on camera, and he's asked about a motivational speech he apparently gave his team at halftime. How would you describe Drew Timmy's description?
Well, I was trying to figure out what happened in that post-game interview, Pablo, and the best way I can describe it is to say what didn't happen, and what didn't happen was that Drew Timmy did not swear. I have never seen a human being try harder to not swear than Drew Timmy did in those moments after the game.
Drew, I heard you in the hallway motivate this team. What did you say in that locker room?
He started off by saying he didn't give a flying F about whether they won or lost.
I said, I don't give a flying F what happens at the end of the game, whether we lose or win.
And then he had to go into what else he said, and he came up with,
we're not going out as no soft guys. Leave it all on the floor because it could be your last 20. And
it was an admirable, like, constipation.
It was, yes. I was, that's a good description. I was thinking like passing a stone almost. It was hilarious because you could see the gears churning of like, how am I going to possibly say what I said on national television in a way that doesn't get me kicked out of school? And I think it's kind of funny, but it's also kind of an embodiment of Drew Timmy and what he is, what he means to this team. The personality, he is their firebrand.
Something a lot of people say about me is I'm a character on the court, but I'm just me.
He's the marquee player on the number one seed in the NCAA tournament, the team that is chasing that elusive first national championship as they head to the Sweet 16.
Look, I get it, right? The NBA has better athletes and way bigger names and far smoother jumpers than what we get in college basketball. Totally. But what March Madness has in some ways is even more magical. Because it has people like Gonzaga's Drew Timmy, a Wes Anderson character who has questionable facial hair and a taunting theatricality, who plays like he understands, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that his life cannot possibly get better than this. So today, Tim Keown tells the story of a college junior who happens to be an endangered species because the biggest star in college basketball does not want his one shining moment to end. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Wednesday, March 23rd. This is ESPN Daily.
When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So, Tim, I want to paint a picture of Drew Timmy here at the top. I want to paint a picture of his whole deal for our audience that may not be so familiar with him, because the guy might be the best college player in the entire tournament. And I have to also admit that one word that keeps coming to mind here aesthetically and perhaps stereotypically is douche.
You know what, Pablo? Drew Timmy agrees.
Something that I'm proud of myself for is not letting others change the way I carry myself or how I present myself. If you're gonna do something, you might as well have fun with it.
He gets it. He knows that the things that he does on the court, you know, he wears this headband, he's got the floppy hair, he has multiple incarnations of his facial hair, currently the Fu Manchu that he lovingly strokes after he makes a good play.
Suggs feeds it to Timmy in a two-hand flush, and then he blows kisses to the crowd.
He flexes far too often for a guy with actually unimpressive arms.
The ratio of flex to muscle mass is probably the greatest in NCAA history.
It is. And you know what's great is that I mentioned that to his father, and his dad, without even blinking, said, well, that's part of the ironic side of Drew. He's even self-aware with that kind of stuff. Like, he's a douche who knows it and makes no apologies for it and is not going to stop.
So Drew Timmy is self-admittedly part douche, Tim. We can say that on the record, right? He said this to you in your piece for ESPN.com. But he is also aesthetically extremely old school, right? Like, even beyond the hair and the headband. Like, in that Memphis game against NBA talent, Timmy put up 25 in a variety of ways that you would describe how.
I have tried to describe him in my own brain and on the page, and the best I can come up with is that he plays a very fast game slowly. Mm. He has so many moves in the post, and none of them involve explosiveness necessarily. It is a festival of the pivot foot, Pablo. It is a it is pump fakes, it's up and under moves, it's drop steps, it is fundamental basketball, but it's beyond that. It's kind of flashy fundamental. It's like a flashy fundamental game.
Yes.
And it's hard to really explain that, but that's as close as I can get.
Yeah, it kind of feels like if Kevin McHale had Instagram. The way he operates on a court, to just put an even finer point on this, it is about a lot more than just how he plays.
Exactly. And that's part of his appeal, is that he's just authentic. He's out there, he's talking to guys, he's trying to make friends.
Oh, that's about enough for today, man. Got like a dunk and a windmill in, a couple boards, you know, a couple assists. MVP performance if we win, no doubt.
The banter that is constant at the free throw line, when he's posting somebody up, when he's playing defense at the tip. I mean, he talks the entire game.
Oh, yeah, you don't want none. You don't want none. You don't want none.
How do the opposing coaches feel about Drew Timmy's loquaciousness?
Well, I have a good story from a guy named Joe Gallo, who's the basketball coach at Merrimack, and they went on a trip out to play Gonzaga. And he was just minding his own business about 90 minutes before the game, sitting on his own bench, watching Gonzaga work out. Next thing you know, two seats over, here's Drew Timmy. And he's sitting there, and Gallo's drinking his coffee and out of a styrofoam cup and kind of looking over his shoulder like, I know who this guy is, but what's he doing over here with me? Like, he doesn't know who I am. And Timmy just struck up a conversation, asked how travel was, talked about the weather in Spokane and how he must be more used to it coming from Massachusetts. And Timmy finally says, well, you know, how much coffee do you drink a day? And he says, I don't know, two or three cups. And Timmy says, you know, my coaches say with my personality, I should not ingest any caffeine in any form. That's how the Merrimack game started, or pregame started, was with Drew Timmy talking to Joe Gallo. And late in the second half, Timmy's going to check back into the game. The game's a blowout. And this backup forward for Merrimack is kneeling at the scorer's table with him, a kid named Justin Connolly. And, you know, Timmy just does what he does. He starts talking to him, and they're going back and forth. And Timmy says, you know, I don't know how long you guys are planning to be in town, but, you know, after the game, we'll be at Jack and Dan's if you guys want to swing by.
A bar, presumably.
It is. It's the bar that's the famous Gonzaga bar owned by John Stockton's family. And this Connolly kind of goes, oh, I don't know how long we're staying either. But, you know, as Gallo's telling me this story, he says, Drew Timmy's my kind of player. He kicks your ass on the court and then buys you a beer after.
So the question logically then, Tim, is how has Drew Timmy been doing in this era of name, image, and likeness? Because that guy feels like a guy who should be making money selling stuff.
No, Pablo, it's just like the perfect merging of a man and his time. You know, it's just that you have this NIL showing up in his lap in a decent sized market that is absolutely fanatical about this Gonzaga basketball program.
Yeah.
And he is like the king of Spokane. I mean, you can't watch television for longer than 10 minutes without seeing him on a furniture ad or any other commercial.
Yeah, what's your favorite one, Tim? What's your favorite ad that you've seen Drew Timmy appear on local TV?
His main gig is with a casino resort, Northern Quest Casino, outside of Spokane.
Thanks again for letting me stroke your mustache, Drew.
Actually, you sort of caressed it.
Regardless, it did bring me good luck, and it more than paid for my delicious meal here at Epic, so you see how it all works out.
I guess.
Now, I can finally retire my old good luck charm.
What is it?
A rabbit's foot.
You serious?
What's the concern?
The rest of the rabbit?
It is literally the NCAA's worst nightmare, right? You've got a guy playing in the tournament who is appearing on TV, you know, at blackjack tables in his uniform and, you know, a place that has a sports book. But it's very consistent with Timmy's personality. They're really funny.
Yeah, I do feel like The King of Spokane is a CBS sitcom coming to us live this fall.
Yes. Complete with up and under moves, yes.
But Tim, coming up, I want to talk about what'll happen when Drew Timmy goes up and under and out, finally, to the NBA.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured, it was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo, another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
You know, Tim, it does seem like all of this goofiness, this whimsy, that it could also overshadow the fact that Drew Timmy is also one of those hyper-competitive dudes, right? I mean, I know in your reporting that you spoke with his coach, Mark Few, the head coach of Gonzaga, and I wonder how someone like Few, who comes across as pretty stoic, how he sees any conflict between Timmy's lightheartedness and his competitiveness.
Pablo, I asked that question to Mark Few, and he kind of looked at me funny, again, kind of squinted his eyes and kind of smiled, and he said, he's crafty. I think a lot of this is meant to take the opponent's edge down. You know, this talk on the court and this chummy stuff. He says he's cold-blooded. It's very interesting to watch that competitive side come out, and happen to be watching him at BYU during the pregame. And then they're out there in the warm-up and the layup lines, and BYU just starts blasting highlights from the last time that Gonzaga was at BYU, and BYU had defeated Gonzaga in 2020. Mm. And I watched Drew look up and start seeing that and be like visibly offended by it and start going from teammate to teammate. And as he told me, he said, are y'all going to let them disrespect us and be ignorant on us? Let's shut these guys up.
All five starters in double figures for Mark Few, and the nation's most explosive offense was outstanding. And a big-time road win for the Gonzaga Bulldogs.
He just felt like they did not have the right to crow about a game that happened 2 years ago when Gonzaga had beaten them by, as it turned out, by 30, essentially, twice this year. And then, like a week later, when I brought it up to him, we're sitting in an empty gym at Gonzaga. You could see it sort of bubble up again. You know, I said, what did that do? I saw you get agitated. And he said, that was so ignorant. I looked up and saw that video and thought, y'all haven't done anything since then. Maybe if you beat us this year, you could do that. But we 30-balled y'all twice.
Yeah, I mean, Drew Timmy standing up for his teammates like that. Tim, it also reminds me that in your story, you write about a nickname that Mark Few has for him. And it's kind of like the opposite of, say, the human highlight reel, because Drew Timmy's nickname is apparently the Union Rep. So how did the Union Rep come to be?
Well, it's probably another testament to his longevity, is that he's able in practice to sort of, you know, kind of be the conscience of the team and tell Few, hey, you know, you're running us too hard. We should, you know, that's enough. Like, and I think some of it is sort of half in jest, but I do think that Few listens to him. I think that, you know, he'll, as he told me, sometimes he'll say, okay, you know, the Union Rep says practice is going too long. So if we finish this off right, then I'll let you guys go. It's just like, he is this, you know, the shop steward, right? Like, he's the voice of the team in a way, you know, because he's been there. And I think there's a part of him that knows that he has that gravity within the program, that Few trusts him, and they kind of go back and forth. And it's kind of a cool relationship. And he has his guy's best interest at heart.
So I think of, like, pregame, Tim, as the sort of, like, time when from the outside you can kind of glimpse into how a locker room sort of ecosystem functions. If you were to show up to watch Gonzaga before one of these games in the tournament now, what would you see?
Well, yeah, I counted, I think it was 30 different handshakes that Drew Timmy has. He has a specific, individualized, choreographed handshake with every single guy on the team, every ball boy, every assistant coach.
I think they just kind of happen. Sometimes they happen as accidents. And then I'm like, me and whoever it is, like, we kind of like that. Like, let's keep doing that and make it our thing. So it's just kind of one of those things.
And even like there's a fan that comes down. There's several fans at home games that come down and kind of make a tunnel. And at the end, he has this handshake with one of the students that's on the court. And they are incredibly elaborate. I mean, they are dance moves and Rochambeaus, and he headbutts Joe Few, the coach's kid, who's a freshman on the team. And he starts with a chest bump of Mark Few. And if you've ever seen Drew Timmy and Mark Few together, you realize just the size difference does not make this even seem possible. I think Mark Few has a very good sense of humor, but he doesn't wear it outside, you know, like you have to kind of dig in to find it. He's not the guy that's going to just be like thinking this is the greatest thing ever. But again, it's one of those things that he goes along with because it's Drew Timmy, and it lightens the mood, and it creates sort of this this atmosphere that everyone seems to want to be a part of. I think it's just this whole aura, Pablo, this whole Drew Timmy aura, because he has just made it his goal to be the biggest college basketball figure there. He wants to be the guy that you think of when you think of this tournament, and he wants his team to win, and he stuck around. He could have declared for the draft. Who knows where he would have been taken or if he would have been taken, but he loves the game. He loves his teammates. The whole thing is perfect for him. He's probably going to have an NBA career. Who knows how good it's going to be, but it's going to be less than what he's doing right now, because this is literally his shining moment.
Yeah, no, it feels like he's peaking. And that's not like, it's not a pejorative in this circumstance, although I understand that it must feel that way at times, because we just haven't had that guy, Tim. Not like this, like the whole, like, I want to be the face of college basketball. Like, that guy does not want to really exist anymore because of the way that the NBA has lured, and the G League, and all of these, the overtime leagues, all of these new upstart kind of startup deals have been taking talent away from the game.
They have. And we talk about his deal with the casino being the NCAA's worst nightmare. Well, he's really on the court. He's their dream, right? I mean, he is someone that people can recognize, right? That's the problem with college basketball, is the recognition factor. We yes. know how good Chet Holmgren is, but we also know that we're not going to see him in a Gonzaga uniform next year. You know, Duren from Memphis, Banchero from Duke. I mean, we can appreciate them in the moment, but there's no carryover. That's smart on their part. Trust me, they should not come back to school. But this guy is, for college basketball, he's a dream. He's someone that you can either love, you can hate, but you know he's going to be there. He's there for 3 years, and you develop sort of this weird sporting fan relationship with a guy that way. That is becoming very, very rare in college basketball.
It's a version of college basketball that I love. And the question after that is, like, what happens when he leaves, Tim? Because, like, Drew Timmy, we don't know if he's going to declare for the NBA draft after this season. We don't know if he's going to return to Gonzaga yet. But from a personality standpoint, yeah, I'm confident in Drew Timmy being a hit in the league. But what do you think his game on the court's going to be like as a pro?
Well, he has deficiencies, and I think that they're mostly foot speed. He has some questions about whether he can be an on-ball defender against quicker, tall guys in the NBA. The other issue is his outside shooting, which, to be fair, he just hasn't had to use very much. When he does, he's not terrible. He's a decent shooter. And, you know, he acknowledges, again, the king of self-awareness. He acknowledges that these are things that the NBA teams have questions about. And he says that he has gone out of his way to work on these things as a way of showing these teams that he is willing to work on the things that, as he puts it, I suck at.
Coming out of high school, people said, I want to be a good college player. I think people overlook production and just the consistency. Now I get it. I don't have the biggest wingspan, or I can't touch the top corner of the backboard. You know, I'm probably not the sexiest combine guy around, but I'm a big team guy. Obviously, I'm not going to have the same role here as I would in the league if I'm fortunate enough to play there.
You know, I take it from Jermaine O'Neal, who obviously has a bias because he's one of his NIL agents, and he also was his coach in AAU and in high school.
Former NBA center Jermaine O'Neal. Yeah.
He has seen Drew Timmy dominate guys who are in the NBA right now. And he says without reservation, Drew Timmy is a first round draft pick. He's going to be a good NBA player. And, you know, I mean, I'd like to believe that. I don't know that I believe that, but I think it would be next to him coming back next year, which I think would be the most hilarious thing in college sports in the last probably 20 years. I think that him going in and having a a really solid NBA career and exceeding expectations would be kind of fun to watch. I'd like to see that personality and how it flies at that level.
Yeah, a big part of me admittedly does want Drew Timmy to just become the Van Wilder of Spokane. Just like never leave. And on that note, I mean, he's not done yet, right? I mean, Gonzaga is going to play number 4 Arkansas on Thursday night. If they win that game, they're going to play the winner of Texas Tech and Duke in the Elite Eight. And from there, they'll probably have to get through UCLA or Carolina to get to the championship game. And on the other side of the bracket, you have Arizona and Kansas, their fellow number 1 seeds. Like, this road is tough, Tim. Like, this is a really hard path to win that first ever national title. So what would it mean to Drew Timmy to lead Gonzaga to it?
Well, I think first off, it would be validation, right? It'd be validation for him in coming back. It would be sort of a sign that his trust in Mark Few and this program was warranted. I think it would also probably improve his draft stock. If he does what he did against Memphis and continues to will this team to a national championship, they're going to have to take notice. They're going to have to see that there's something about this guy that is, you know, I hate to use the word intangible because he does a lot of tangible things, but there's just a part of him that is more than what you see. You know, on a side note, I just want to see him saddle up to Mike Krzyzewski in his perhaps last game, you know, a couple seats from the bench an hour and a half before the game and start talking about the weather and see how well it goes over.
Yeah, Tim, I don't know if Coach K is going to stroke Drew Timmy's mustache.
I don't think he's going to have a conversation about coffee either, but we'll see.
Tim Kuehn, as always, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Pablo. It was fun.
I'm Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.